I like beer.
It makes me a jolly good fellow.
I like beer. It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Makes him feel mellow.
Welcome to I Like Beer, the podcast, where we discuss great beers and the stories that go with them. I'm your host, Jeff.
And I'm your host, Jeff. And with us today, we got producer Joe.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen.
And Mateo is back on the right side of the glass today.
Yes. Or the left side.
But I guess depending on which way you're looking at it.
It depends.
I was looking at my angle. Okay, yeah.
Joe and Mateo in the same room at the same time. Has this happened before? People said it couldn't be done.
Yeah. No, we made it happen.
And it's happening. Yes. Friends who love good beer and telling stories, so we turned it into a podcast.
And today's actually kind of interesting because it's, number one, it's National Sloppy Joe Day. So
oh,
that explains
fantastic.
Your dress there, Joe.
Yes, it does.
But it's also, for those of you, I don't know what you can look at them, Forgive Mom and Dad Day. So that's interesting that they needed to have a day. And then the one that I thought that was most interesting, it is Companies That Care Day. No. Not to be confused with those companies that do not give a crap about anyone.
They're out there.
That is another day. But today is Companies That Care Day. So hopefully most companies are celebrating.
Sloppy Joe Day.
Joe Day.
That's what I had my company celebrate. Yeah.
Teachers by day, beer drinkers by night. Lucky enough to live in North County, San Diego, beer mecca within a beer mecca. Please pour yourself a beer, pull up a bar stool, and join us.
Hey, everybody. Don't be a freaking manus. Buy me a beer, not a freaking coffee. Go to ilikebeerthepodcast.com and click on Buy Me a Beer, which is gracias.
That's Buy Me a Beer. Click the link on the website. When you do, you support our podcast. You help us do this because we have a goal. The goal is to go to video.
Yeah.
But video, not cheap.
Video.
True.
So help us out. It's much appreciated. You probably think we're making a lot of money doing this. You'd be wrong or we wouldn't ask you. So click the link. ilikebeerthepodcast.com. Buy us a beer. $5, $10, $15 helps out. And we will put it right back into the podcast as we do everything.
Pretty much. And you get to see Joe's outfits every week, which
keeps me
coming back. Right. I like beerthepodcast.com. And speaking of beer mecca within a beer mecca.
Oh, we do have a shirt now, a beer mecca within a beer. The Hops Highway shirt is now live. Beer mecca within a beer mecca. You can
it's
get
a
that
sweet
one.
Shirt. I saw it. I didn't order it yet, but you were wearing it. You were modeling it around. Yeah, that's a great shirt. I like beerthepodcast.com. We do live in a beer mecca, Hop Highway. But that doesn't mean there isn't great beer out there to be found.
True.
We go questing for it from time to time. We hit the road, Central Coast, Austin coming up, and we'll get back into that in a second because we have a beer drink first, don't we?
We have. Yeah, we do.
And Joe, because Joe gives up alcohol for a time, you brought us a beer.
I did.
During Lent.
During Lent. That's all happened.
That's odd. So tell us about what you brought.
I brought us a Heineken that is blue. On a previous show, someone said this is their go-to beer. Who was that?
The Improv
Cocktail. Improv Cocktail Guy. That's right. So, and those were so good that I figured, hey, well, I know it's a macro brewery, but let's give it a try.
Mateo, you in for a 0.0?
Oh, yeah. Yes, please. Okay. Those improv cocktails are great. I drink them every Thursday night at Trivia, Duckfoot and Encinitas. A little improv cocktail.
Do they serve them there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, they give you the can, you know.
Well, that's fine. They were good in the can. That's how he drank them.
Yeah, it keeps you sharp for trivia, you know?
That's the only way they come, right?
Bless you.
Holy cow, I must be allergic to this non-alcoholic
You're
beer.
Good?
No, I'm just kidding.
I think it could be.
Because it's National Sloppy Joe Day. You got a little too close to Joe's cologne there.
It's been a long time since I had a Heineken.
It is.
I can't recall last time I had a Heineken.
I was in Aruba once, and this is like the number one beer in the Dutch, in those, the ABC islands, what they call them. It's like Aruba, Bonaire, and Curacao or whatever, and they're a Dutch colony, so Heineken's huge there.
I remember drinking for free in Vegas when I was in my early 20s. They just there keep handing them to you.
This is actually better than a regular Heineken.
I was going to say, this is probably pretty close or better, or it's better than I remember it being.
Yeah, this is probably the best non-alcoholic beer I've ever had, and I think it's the first one I've ever had. So,
my go-to is the Guinness Zero.
Yeah, I haven't tried that
one. Which they have at the Guinness Factory. They pour it with pride and with no shame involved, because you're at Guinness Factory, so you're like, well, I'm having a 0%. But when you're on pint six, it's okay to have a zero. And now, they are Guinness. They're 4% beers, so you're cruising along. But I wanted to try it, and they've recommended it, and it was really good. That's a daily drinker at my house, the Guinness Zero. This is pretty good.
And the good news, it is on untapped, so you can get a check-in for this, for those of us that are in the game for the check-ins. I don't know if you get a badge, but That's pretty. Actually, it's really refreshing.
I'm gonna say I preferred. I poured myself one in a glass, or part of it in the glass and part of it in the bottle. Kind of like just drinking out of the bottle.
Yeah.
Especially when you said the Aruba thing.
You look cooler drinking out of the bottle.
Yeah, I do.
The green glasses.
I do. That's pretty good.
It's not bad.
Yeah. It's not. I was planning on bagging on it,
but I can't. I can't do it.
Don't tell my college roommates, but yeah, I like it.
Yeah. No, it's well, it's because you're maturing.
It is icy cold, and we appreciate icy cold. That. And I bet it won't give me a headache like 4 or 5 Heinekens usually do.
That's well, or there's
I
don't that.
Usually used to.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Been a little while. It was probably more than 4 or 5 too.
4 or 5 at a time.
Yeah. I'm kind of doing that math in my head. It was way more than 4 or 5. Probably anything of that amount would have given me a headache, but they gave me a particularly nasty one.
Well, I bought a 6-pack and I think I'm going to drink the other 4 that you are should. Left you just should. Based on the,
well, you gotta do
what
this
is doing
month.
For me. Yeah. I guess the only other question is how many calories does it have?
Oh, right? 0. It says it right on the front.
Is it 0 calories or 0 alcohol?
Oh, I don't know. I don't read past that. I just saw 0 on the front, so I just assume it's 0 everything.
There you go.
It's very small.
Yeah,
perfect. They should make that bigger. Mm, oh, yeah. Give it to someone who can. So give it to the young man who can read it.
Old man over. Find any calories on there.
This is fascinating stuff, too. Keep all this.
Oh, yeah. That's well, 60. 60.
60. No, 60. No, no, found it. Even better. 69.
Yeah.
Oh, they're even better.
There you go.
That's inappropriate.
Well, we're drinking them fast, so we better get to, well, we do have a beer in hand.
Yeah.
Toast, roast, and pour one out. I got a couple local, well, I guess one local toast. That's two. Worth the wait. Worth the wait is my toast.
Nice.
Burgeon.
Yes.
In the Grove. We went there. We haven't had a chance to talk about because we haven't had toast, roast, pour segment since there. Fantastic spot.
Yes.
Right across street 508. Great job, Burgeon. That's cool.
It's very cool.
And then Mother Earth, we were there at their grand opening, been back, but they remade Pinup Pale after many years of promises from Noel. Yep. Pinup Pale, I went there the other day, sat by myself, had two, read a book. It was fantastic. It was just Pinup Pale ale is just as good, maybe better than I remember it.
But all those, I'm like going there, their Mexican lager, their Japanese lager, the milk stout. So a bunch of things coming back. And it's just nice to be able to drink it on draft there fresh.
I kind of forgot, in my head, like the venue, Downtown Vista was great. And I missed the venue.
Yeah.
I think I did because it's been a while.
Yeah.
Forgot just how amazing their beers are.
Very good.
Tapped, right? Because I get them, I'll buy the pack and it's in the fridge and then it's not the same.
Yeah, for sure.
Not the same. So yeah, there's my toast. Burgeon, Mother Earth and Vista doing great stuff. How about you?
Well, we haven't been in here, so I've been sitting on some of these for a little bit, but it's still appropriate because I think technically we're still in winter. So anyone who lives in Minnesota knows snowplows are essential to daily life there in Minnesota and how to deal with it. But it's kind of cool because they began naming their plows. They have, I guess there's over 800 snowplows in that area. And so what they did is they saw that there was a city in Scotland that was naming it. And they go, hey, that's a good idea. So in 2020, they decided, hey, we're going to have our first Name a Snowplow contest. And they basically put it out there and let people come up with names. And then it's a vote. And there's 8 districts there in Minnesota. So they have 8 winners each year. And then they just add to it. So they just announced the winners of the 2023-2024 Name a Snowplow contest, and they're adding the 8 new names there to the already 36 names already out there. So the 8 names that were chosen this year, name number, and these are just in no particular order, but each district, Taylor Drift was one, Clark W. Bliswold, nice. Dolly Plowton, Wapainti, which is the Dakota word for snowplow, Beyonce.
Yeah, that's my favorite. So
you're
far.
Killing me, Squalls.
Oh, jeez.
Fast and Flurious, and Barbie's Dream Plow.
Nice.
So those were the. I guess they had about 48 finalists. So those were the ones that won in each one.
That's solid work.
Yeah,
that's
it good is work solid right work. There. And they actually said it's been pretty amazing. They have over 100,000 votes cast for it each year, and
that's
actually
like all of Minnesota.
They had like 8,000 submissions this year, so it's pretty amazing, I guess. And some of the previous ones that they had winners before was Plowy McPlowface, which was a take on an English one with the boat they were naming. Darth Blader. which is a great one. Blizzard of Oz, Scoop Dog, and Hans Nolo. Hans Nolo is a previous one. So those are there. And I guess what, oh, and then they had another one. Some of them, they have F. Salt Fitzgerald, because F. Yes. Scott was born there in St. Paul. And then they also had the truck formerly known as Plow, which recognized Prince back in the day. So, and I guess it's been so popular, stuff like that. Now you're starting to see cities all over the U.S. have started it. I guess New Mexico launched its first Name a Snowplow contest this week, or this winter as well. And they got a lot of people to take place in it. And they voted to name 12 of their 400. And they had Fleetwood Mac, Mr. Snow-It-All, and Billy the Skid, which is to take on Billy the Kid. Yeah. So pretty cool. And I guess they said they've got, they plan to keep the contest going. Each plow, as they gets named, gets it on the side of the, they write it on the side and it keeps that nice name. And they said, hey, we've got 800 snowplows statewide. So a lot of snowplows to name in Minnesota. So I thought it was kind of cool how you take something like that and bring the whole community in and people get excited. And it's just kind of funny. I don't know. What could we do here? Like name a lifeguard tower. I don't know what we could do, but something like that. I don't know. But I thought it was pretty cool. Good job, Minnesota.
Boats, don't they, in the harbor?
Fair. Yeah. Okay. Like, what else are you going to do in the winter in Minnesota? Yeah. So, pretty sweet.
After Toast, Roast, and Pork, we're going to go back to our Central Coast visit. And I got a couple of breweries to roast.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I don't like to do that. It's not fun. No. I guess it's not my thing.
No.
But if it's called for, it's called for. First of all, Firestone Walker. Hey, great lunch there. We stopped at the Barrel Works. I brought home a couple bottles of stuff I'm excited to share. Always good stuff. But we were there for Cali Squeeze Passion Fruit.
Yeah.
And we made many visits to many places trying to find some of that to bring home, and it was not available.
I don't know if maybe it's not in season. I don't know what it was, but it was nowhere. It wasn't in cans. It wasn't on tap. It wasn't anywhere.
They're not having enough to meet the demand of the masses.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And so on that same note, Barrel House Brewing, which we went to their location in Paso Robles.
Yes.
Which was just a cool spot.
Very cool.
But we were there for Strawberry Days. They no longer can Strawberry Days. We had pints there.
Yes, and they were delicious.
And they were delicious. But they said not enough demand. So I don't know if I'm roasting Barrel House Brewing's poor decision or the people of Central Coast that there's not enough demand for Strawberry Days. What are you drinking if you're not drinking Strawberry Days and Cali Squeeze Passion Fruit?
Fair.
So fair. I'm not sure. I'm not even sure who I'm roasting. I'm just annoyed. I think you
have to roast the community.
Well, there's a place for me to put my annoyance.
Venting. It's just venting at this point.
Toast, roast, fix pour,
it.
And
fix it.
Fix it. Just fix it so you're not on the roast column.
Yeah.
How about you?
I'm going after Tesla Cybertrucks because I guess they've recently hit the road. I have yet to see one.
I saw one on the way here.
Okay, I have yet to see one.
It looks like it's right out of RoboCop.
Yeah.
They're ugly as hell.
Yeah, they are one of the ugliest trucks. So that's not the reason I'm roasting it, because basically I was reading a thing and they said that several of the people who have taken ownership of their Cybertruck, which is a stainless steel truck, but they say those stainless steel trucks are rusting.
Oh,
so that's kind of interesting.
Yeah,
so
that's
something to watch. Keep your eye on it.
That's not supposed to happen.
It might evolve to a poor one out eventually, and I don't know, but it may not be as indestructible as they have been marketing it.
Pours. Back to our Central Coast. Oh, it poured.
It did pour.
Yeah, it was torrential.
Yeah.
Because we were camping up there, woke up and stepped into a lake. All right, my campsite was a lake. How was yours?
It wasn't bad. It was more of the lake driving home.
Yeah.
Going through Ventura and LA and the rain is not fun.
Well, that's all I have for pours. Yes, we got poured on.
It poured on us. I'm pouring one out for Bobby. I think it's Bobby. Maybe it's Bobby. I don't know. But he was a Portuguese canine who had been declared as the world's oldest dog last year.
Oh, no.
They revoked his title.
I thought he died.
Yeah, it's different.
No, no, I don't know if he has or not, but they did revoke his title because they're basically saying, hey, you know what? We don't believe how old you really are.
So basically, I guess
last year he was awarded this. They gave him like the plaque and all this other kind of stuff. And some people came out and they said, you know what? I don't think that dog Bobby or Bobby, if it's Bobby, it should be two B's. It's one B here. Truly lived over 30 years is claimed. They said the normal life expectancy for that breed is 12 to 14 years. So a lot of people stepped up. And so Guinness says, well, we're going to launch an investigation. They went to launch the investigation. No documents to verify how old Mr. Bobby Bobby was. And so they revoked his oldest dog honors. So that's kind of sad for him. Good news is Bluey, who held it previously.
Louis backup.
He is now the only fully documented longest living dog. So there you go. There, you know, I guess every rose has its thorn.
There you go.
just like every cowboy sings a sad, sad song. Yeah. Bluey's had his back and Bluey's having his day.
Good job, Bluey.
Is Bluey still alive?
No, Bluey is long since passed, but it's his legacy that we really are awarding. Bluey's legacy is intact. Well, he had, no, let's see here. Bluey, I got to look here, confirmed. Well, 320. So I think his was about like 20 something years. It was a lot less than Bobby, who was saying, I'm 32 now, but apparently no verification on that. So,
all right.
As the young kids say, sus. It's kind of sus.
It's very sus. I don't know what that means, but it sounds like sus. It sounds like it to me. Yeah. So,
ladies and gentlemen, this has been Toast Roast and Pour One Out. We got another beer, but this one has alcohol. Anybody in for it?
I'll take a sip.
I know Joe's going to sit this one out.
I got to sit it out.
This was sent by Paul up in Seattle.
Nice.
This is from Black Raven Brewing. So talking about road trips to find great beers and questing for great beers. We found the Coco Jones and the Kitty Cat Blues there. This is from their Feather Weather Collection, which is their stouts. Mexican hot chocolate stout.
Ooh, sounds delicious.
Yes.
That sounds really good.
And they say, you know, don't barrel age this. That's not what this is for. You're supposed to drink this fresh. So they released it. He bought it. He sent it. And here we go.
Very good. Also the right marketing strategy. Don't barrel age this. This needs to be drank immediately.
Drink it. Come back for more. It's limited.
Yeah.
And you're special because you got it. I feel special because we have it. Thank you, Paul, for sending it.
Although
I'm imagining Amanda had as much to do with getting it to me as Paul.
I bet that's true.
But it was Paul's writing on the box.
I don't know if you're allowed to ship it.
Paul drove it there himself.
Got it.
Right. Don't even let Joe touch the can. Mateo, you put temptation right in
your
hand.
You put it in the...
That's a beautiful looking beer.
That's delicious. Beautiful looking beer.
It's thick. It's really good. I'm trying to think, I've had a couple other Mexican chocolate stouts and very good. Belching Beaver has one, correct? I'm pretty sure. Yeah, they have one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Theirs is from their peanut butter one from that same kind of base to it.
Yep.
Well, that's quite rich.
It's not thick,
but it's rich.
Mm. It pours thick and looks thick, but when you drink it, it doesn't taste, it's not as thick.
Oh, that's really good. No, that's fantastic. No, I was expecting to be much roastier.
Yeah, me too.
It's much smoother than I thought it was going to be. That's pretty good.
Pretty solid.
Yeah, they got the little tingle kind of, not like spicy, but it's got a tiny little something to it, you know?
Spice in there. I'm going to let warm up a little bit and see what happens there. So we got to share a little bit about our visit with Humdinger.
Yep.
Spontaneous, just crashed his party. He was happy to have us. We shared a little
cool spot, really neat spot,
a couple weeks ago with Oak and Otter, talking to Dylan there, which is always a must stop for us, and Bang the Drum.
Mm-hmm.
But the next day we went to Wine Country. Why we do this to ourselves, I don't know. But this wasn't as painful as other trips.
Well, I think Tin City was an interesting spot because it wasn't like we actually went to a specific winery. It was going to a place where there was a lot of them around there, and then there were some options for some beers as well.
That's where Barrel House is, and ice cream.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You guys got the gelato there? That's my favorite.
So we got there and we had some great food. But at Tin City, we had a pleasant winery experience.
Yeah. It was really fun, and it was funny because I was retelling it to someone the other day because we went to the one winery. This probably should have been in our toasts, maybe, or our roast, or our pours, whatever. But we went to a winery. I don't know if we should say the name. Well, it's a beer podcast, but winery. The winery is called Ella, and we're sitting around trying to figure out when we meet the one of the co-owners of the place. And you're not at the winery; you're in just the tasting room. There's probably 15 wineries that are in this Tin City that have a tasting rooms. And like I said, you should go there. Anyone that's up in that area, stop. It's right off the freeway. It's a really awesome spot. But it was really funny because we were talking to her and Ella, that's an interesting name. Where did you come up with that name? And it's like, well, we named it after our daughter. And I'm like, oh, really? That's really interesting. You're like,
come to find out.
Is that your only kid? No, I have three kids.
So that just struck us as a bit odd. Like, so what do the other two kids think about the fact that the...
there was the middle daughter.
The middle daughter got
like they met the first daughter. Yeah. Maybe the son came later, but they met the daughter. Yeah. And they went, no, not you.
Yeah. So I just thought that was funny how and you kind of asked her, kind of poking a little fun. And I think she... Yeah, maybe we wore out a little bit of our welcome there. But we ended up buying several bottles of very expensive wine. So I think we worked our way back in. But it was... That was actually... That was the part of the winery I enjoyed the most.
I actually tried to cover... Pretend to have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
So that played along with us.
That was pretty funny. So...
In fact, it wasn't the vintner that it called. It was our wives kind of gave side eye.
Yeah.
You can stop really now. This is not a brewery. This is not a brewery.
She's not seeing the humor in this.
Yeah.
Well, so, I thought it was really funny because you're right. That's a perfect question. What do the other kids feel about when Ella, your dream child, walks in and everyone else like, well, they didn't name anything after me. And it's like.
Well, maybe they could have a snowplow.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. There you go.
But because our wives are so generous with their time, after the wineries, I actually had run into right down here in downtown Vista, a gentleman wearing a Kilo Brewing shirt. And I asked, I got to know about this. A Hawaiian brewery, assumed it was in Hawaii. No, this is in Paso Robles. I got down the information and we did a pop in on a Sunday.
Yeah.
A Kilo. And there's the owner brewer right there, Steve Stewart.
And his wife.
And his wife right there working. So we said, can we have 5 minutes to chat? And he was a talker.
He was fun.
And so we got to go back to hear much more of this story. But yeah, Steve Stewart, Kilo, which means magical. Magic.
Basically magical.
Brave. I mean, takes risks.
It does.
Risk taking.
He does. Yes, his beers are very interesting.
And let Steve talk about it.
Continuing our travel through the Central Coast, we're up in Paso Robles, which we never can get clarification. Paso Robles or Paso Robles? And we got Steve Stewart here, expert. Which one is it?
It's Paso Robles.
Paso Robles. Okay.
There you go.
I've
been missing pronouncing
it forever, our Southern California, that does not work for us.
No, absolutely.
But it's Paso Robles.
Yeah, because some people call it El Paso de Robles.
Yeah.
That's if you're from Southern California, that's exactly
what you're exactly doing. That's exactly right. That sounds correct.
Here's Paso Robles.
Kilo Brewing with Steve Stewart. Thank you for taking a minute out of your time because you are doing everything today.
Oh, yeah.
Co-owner, brewer here at Kilo, and with San Diego Roots.
Yeah, we got our start at Toolbox Brewing as partners, kind of cut our teeth on the wild ales and doing that type of thing. Wanted to expand that path and have more IPAs and other things. So broke away, came up here to wine country and started doing the beer thing.
So risk taker you are. You're a brewery in wine country, but also your beers are pushing the envelope on style and flavors. You are not afraid of taking risks, is my guess. I've known you for about 3 minutes now.
It comes from that time at Toolbox. I mean, if you look back at what Toolbox did, taste the rainbow. That was our motto there, and we just weren't afraid to push the limits on flavors, and that still holds true today.
First beer we had when we got here was the Peach Cinnabuns, which is a real mind melt.
Yes, it is.
Right.
A lot of flavors going on there. But it worked. It was a donut beer,
A cinnamon rolled donut. If you were at Slow Doco and you had a Cinnabomb, and then they turned that into a beer.
That's what it would taste like.
It would be the Peach Cinnabon.
Oh, absolutely. Cinnabons. Just the peach cobbler beer, just loaded up with a bunch of cinnamon and brown sugar and vanilla and peach and just a lot of fun.
It was really good.
It was.
And
good.
None of it should work. I'm just going to, off
shouldn't.
The record, none of it should not work, but it does.
It shouldn't. I the original version was with, it had blueberry, blackberry.
Oh, wow.
And a couple other things. And it's like, everybody went after it, so I was like, let's do peach. It shouldn't work, but it absolutely does. It's got its own thing, so it's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
So you've got Kilo, we've got a Hawaiian theme here in wine country on the Central Coast. Where does all that come from? How did that all come together for you?
The wife's family has been on the island of Oahu since 1850. Family history goes long ways back. Originally, she's Portuguese. From the Azores, a lot of them, Hawaii is just a melting pot. So they've been there for forever and a day. So we came up with Kilo because that translates to the magical brewery.
Nice.
Oh, does
it? Yeah, it means magical. So that's just kind of the vibe we go with. I mean, we just kind of fly with our gut and just kind of create things. The only beer that we probably I could I can safely say this, we brew to style as our German Pilsner. There is no room whatsoever in this brew house for not doing that 100% authentic as just a true German Pilsner. The rest, anything's game.
Right. And speaking of that, we also had the Ohana Mua, which you gave me, which is how we got talking, because you poured me the taster with notes.
Yeah. That's a really interesting beer, how that one came about. That's a collab with King's Brewing Company in Rancho Cucamonga, which is known to be a lot like us, or we're a lot like him, whichever way you want to look at it. Where, I mean, he'll put anything in a beer. Doesn't matter. It's just about the flavor and the end result. So we came up with this idea to do a Bananas Foster beer. The barrels that we got were seven-year-old Heaven Hill barrels that our friends at Mission Trail Cider had put a cherry wine in called Dom Cherryon. It was a really, really awesome thing. So when you're tasting that, it sat in a barrel for 30 months. So you're getting a lot of tannins and a lot of things that you don't get from a shorter barrel-aged beer. It's almost the tartness. It's just a different between that and the cherry wine that was in there. It's kind of just a mind blower. It's just there's a lot of layers as it warms up.
Oh, that exactly.
It really takes you on a journey.
That's just sipping, and each time you taste it, it tasted a little like. And I would say each time, the first time I tasted it, I don't know if I. And then this is really good. Oh, wait, this is very good. You know, so it just kind of grew. Every time you tasted it, you got a little more of that.
Yeah,
so.
It's just that's typical of our brewing. Yeah. Just looking for those experiences. That one,
complex, drinkable.
Yeah,
I mean, but complexity. Mm-hmm. Like, what's going on with this?
Yeah. I mean, when you start doing a Bananas Foster, I mean, it's got macadamia nuts, it's got pecans, it's tons of vanilla bean. I mean, it's just loaded with a ton of banana, and then that cherry wine sitting on there, and that bourbon. It's just a different beer. It really shouldn't work, but it really does work.
Yeah.
So what's the? So you've been here since
2018,
and so. There's a brewery scene that's budding, but you were here at the early part of a budding brewery scene. What's the beer community like in Paso Robles and the Central Coast?
You know, it's a lot different than San Diego. In some ways it's better, in some ways it's worse. I think the way it's better is we all know each other, but I think where it's worse is we're a lot smaller of a community. So it just, you get different personalities and different things. I mean, in San Diego, I feel like you could brew there and just get lost. I mean, it's hard to stand out. Yeah. But here, you know, it's definitely, it's a cool scene. You got some really damn good brewers that are sitting up here. I mean, if you look at the history of Firestone Walker, those guys are killing it. You've got Chuck Silva up here. I mean, that's the original Pallet Wrecker from Green Flash. You've got Wild Fields. He won more medals at World Beer Cup than any craft brewery ever has at one time. I mean, that's
Pizza Port Roots.
Yeah, I mean, and then Beechwood. I mean, it's huge accolades on that guy. And then you've got the two guys in San Luis Obispo that are products of Firestone Walker. You've got, you know, Brendan from Liquid Gravity. I mean, he kills it. No. Absolutely kills it. And you got Max down there. There does not exist. You've got great breweries here. You really do. I mean, it's a lot of fun. You've got the smaller, lesser known guys and some really big hitters. So it's
one thing we've noticed is, unlike San Diego, you have a little more space, right? Everything's not a crammed little tiny space. There's a place there. You have actually kind of an event place adjacent for a doorway through your main tasting room. Where you could have a party right in here.
Oh, we do it all the time. We do it all the time. I mean, we have, we do a lot of events, a lot of reggae shows and stuff. We do private dinners for some of the biggest names in that industry come in here and do parties with us and stuff. Every year we do a Kilo Fest, which is usually we've got 5 or 6 A-list bands that are national touring bands on the stage all at the same time.
Wow.
Pretty unconventional, not easy to do. You got to be really close with those guys to be able to pull that off. But that's what we call Kilo style. It's like
magic style.
Yeah,
magic
we style. We just swing for the fences in what we do. We don't do anything small. I started out as a home brewer, brewed 2 batches of beer, hooked up with some guys that were brewing on a 1-barrel system. brewed with them for 3 months and then became a partner at Toolbox.
That was a quick
yeah, I went
quick learning curve there.
Went up fast. Yeah, I just, that's, you know, that's where I want to sit. It's just, I
said risk take. We noticed that right away.
Well, I said, so we're chasing. Let's talk about the one we're having right here. So it's a milkshake POG.
Yeah, it's a milk shaka pog. Yeah. So we took the milkshake and turned it into milk shaka to give it a little more island flair. The basis of that beer, it's funny. First off, it's a milkshake. So, you know, you're going to get the boo birds on the milkshakes. And and I get that. If you're in San Diego and you're brewing a bunch of milkshake, you're probably not going to be very popular. But up here in wine country, they're a little behind on the beer. They're not, it's not as cutting edge as San Diego. So
they're missing out on this one.
Yeah, this is delicious. Well,
that's the people's beer. You know, it's like you don't get to choose your nickname. You don't get to choose your flagship. That's the way it is. So the basis of that beer is Pam, my wife, wanted to have a beer that was like the pog juice she drank on the island. So I was like, how in the hell am I going to make an IPA that's pog? And I thought about it, and it had so much fruit in it. It was like I needed to take it down the milkshake route just to balance out all that flavor. It's just a hazy with that much fruit in it didn't really appeal to me. It's just an over-fruited sweet beer. Mm-hmm. It needed more to balance it. So it's funny, people say I don't like IPAs, and it's like you have no idea the hop rate that's in that's in that beer. It's absolutely insane. So yeah, that was the basis of that beer, just something fun. And it's funny, a lot of people, I've gone to a lot of beer fests and stuff from like Hen House, their Freshtival. I mean, that's a really respected spot to go. I went in there, the pog, and our line was huge, and people were like, how in the hell are you pulling this off with a milkshake?
My wife is not an IPA person. Right. We drank IPAs for many, many years, but that's not hop. She loved this beer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't tell her it was an IPA.
No,
it hides like it's not, but when you build it, I'm like, that hop rate, it's like that beer is so hard to make money on. There's so much fruit and so much hop in it. It's like that's not a margin builder at all. But it's fun because, like I said, I've taken it to some of the biggest festivals, and it's like we win the People's Choice Awards all the time with it. And there's some big damn breweries in that circle, and they're like, "All right, let me taste it." And they're like, "Dude, I want to hate this thing." That's what makes it fun.
Yeah. If it was down in San Diego, you just take the milkshake part off and call it Shaka IPA.
Yeah.
And then it would sell like crazy. Yeah. Just take the milkshake part off.
Yeah, it's people have that idea. I mean, there's a lot of people that make some really bad milkshakes. They don't do any justice to that style. They try to hide behind all the fruit and just bury it in lactose. And it's like, that's not the secret to that beer. It's got some secrets in there that
this
make
might
it
be
work.
My favorite.
That's very good.
A fruited IPA I've ever had.
Yeah, it's really, really
good. Thank you.
Well, cheers.
Yeah, cheers.
Yeah, cheers, guys.
Thanks for sitting down and talk to us.
You bet.
We can't wait for our next visit.
All right.
Well, we actually ran into someone in line for ice cream in downtown Vista across from Enzane Brewing wearing a Kilo Kilo shirt. And I asked him, and he said, oh, you have to go there. And that's what brought us here on a Sunday, a rainy Sunday. And here's Steve working the bar and everything else. How exciting. I mean, that's really cool. You can come in and get to meet the owner, the brewer, and have a chat. That's fantastic.
That's great beers.
That's Kilo. We run it. It's family. I mean, that's how it is. We ran this thing for 5 years with very little help. And now we're starting to, we just got a new chef and finally got a tasting room manager.
We didn't talk about the food.
Yeah, the food's very good too. And it seems very authentic as well. So that's very cool as well. Kind of stays within the theme.
Yeah, it's cool. Like I said, it's all about flavors.
Yeah.
Now we're going to start pairing the beers with the food and do some beer dinners and stuff. It's like, that's the stuff I live for.
So it's magic. It's magical, really, is what it is. Yeah. People don't realize it, but it is magical.
Yeah, that's the thing I love about Kilo Kilo, being a Hawaiian-owned brewery. It's cool because to brand it, this is the easiest brewery in the world to brand.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's using their hops, trying to get the tropical flavors out, and it's like, watch this. Yeah. Tropical and fruit flies and right up.
And you can't find too many people that don't like anything Hawaiian. So right off the bat, they're going, Hawaiian? Yeah. I'm coming to that brewery to check it out.
No, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, our idea that we hope people leave with is they kind of went on a beercation.
Yeah.
That's our word. We love beercation. What would you want to drink if you're on an island? Let's have fun.
Probably this POG right here. Right? The POG would be it.
Absolutely. Well,
you're doing great things. So congratulations to you. And yeah. We're looking forward to our next visit.
Yeah. All right. Appreciate you guys. Yeah.
Thanks.
Cheers.
We have a couple beers to rate.
We do.
I can't wait to go back to Kilo Kilo. And,
I agree.
And everywhere else we went to, including Tin City.
Tin City was sweet, and that Barrel House location was awesome. I want to go see a show there.
They have a great concert area
venue, some looks really. I started following them just so I can see who's playing there and stuff because it was pretty neat.
We have Heineken 00. It's premium quality, and I know that because it says it right there.
It does tell you.
Yeah. The malt beverage.
What do they call it? Truth in advertising.
Natural flavors. I mean, I'm scoring it higher than people might think I'm going to score it.
Got it.
I went 4.0 because I actually enjoyed it.
Yep.
I'm a 4.0.
Yeah.
Yeah. 4 flat.
I gave it a 5.0 with a sobriety bump.
Yeah.
The sobriety bump. You know what?
If it was, I would have given it the 5.0 hydration bonus since it was the first one. Oh, so just hydrate a little bit before.
If it was a summer day and I'm working in the yard, it might get up into the 4 or 5s.
Yeah.
If
I'm working with some machinery or some power tools, this is one you want to have. Then.
Yeah. There you go.
It is good. But you know, one thing we didn't talk about is up at the Central Coast, we had some hop water.
Oh, yeah.
Seltzer
water.
And
that was very interesting.
Hops.
We need to take a look at some of those, too. Yeah. Those were.
Yeah,
I didn't want to like that either, and I actually drank it. Actually, this is pretty good.
I would buy that if someone sold it, but no one sold it to go. What'd you give the Heineken 00?
The Heineken? Yeah, that's a 4 flat for me.
4 5?
Nice.
No, sorry. 4 flat. 4 flat.
Four flat. Okay. Yeah, just in case your college roommates are listening.
Well, it's really the question of, like, how do you scale a non-alcoholic beer, you know?
Yeah, well, that's fair.
Like, do you when you're rating, like, music, do you scale an album the same way as a mixtape? Not really.
Yeah,
it's all different.
That's very true. Fair. That's fair.
I hadn't thought of it that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for bringing that up. I mean, now I have to reprocess the whole thing. Did I scale it as a non-alcoholic beer or just as a beer?
I graded it within its genre of non-alcoholic beers.
Yeah.
And I felt like this is a very good, like a non-alcoholic beer 4.0 is something I would buy. And so that's kind of how I went with
that. That's my marker. 4.0 means I'd buy it.
Yeah.
Well, how about Featherweather Mexican Hot Chocolate Stout, Black Raven Brewing up in Redmond, Washington? Where'd you land this?
I went 4.1 on this one. I enjoyed this one.
Yeah, me too. We're in sync.
Yeah.
4 or 5 on the can feel.
Yeah. It is a lovely can feel.
What could they have done to this can feel to get to bump it to the 5?
A little more silky.
A little dent in it from not shipping, but from the drive here.
Yeah.
Well, that's also the non-alcoholic bump right there. You know?
Yeah, like, that's
just imagine what it can be. This one's right up my alley. I got to give this one like a 4.7. I like it a lot.
Nice. That's good. I agree. It was tasty.
Yeah, good beer. Thank you for sending it. Listeners, thank you for spending time with us. Remember, just a moment, rate us, review us wherever you get our podcast. Check us out on Instagram. Visit our website, ilikebeerthepodcast.com. We'd love to keep drinking, but right now, we got to run.
BEERRUN, beer run. BEERRUN, beer run. All we need is a 10 and a 5 or a car and a key and a sober driver. BEERRUN.